Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Well, another episode of UFC Unfiltered. Not only do I do a read for Lyft, which is stellar.
Love it.
George St. Pierre calls in.
Yes.
A terrific call from George. And Matt and I talk a little shit about movies. We talk a little UFC. We talk a little about my dating.
Yes.
And Matt's hot, sexy weekend.
Oof.
Rough.
He may finish it here. He's out.
UFC and Digital Media present UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra, powered by Digital Media. Find your voice. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Good afternoon or evening or morning, whenever you're listening to this fine podcast. Matt Serra and myself.
Hi.
Who's the producer?
Yes.
And a lot of ground to cover.
The whole team.
The whole team. Very small team.
Small team.
We have GSP on the phone at one point today.
Oh,
we were hoping for Tyron Woodley, but they said Tyron is traveling.
Well, I'd like to catch up with George. I haven't talked to George in a while.
Yeah. Last thing you said to George was, here, eat this. And you punched him in the face.
Actually, I think we had the rematch since then. He goes, eat this, and he needed me in my side. But hey, whatever
right.
It is.
You still punch him in the face.
It's all right. I think, listen, we have a clean slate.
Where do you keep
your belt? I beat him. You know what's so funny about that, that you asked that? Is that... had my who was over the other day? One of my kids,
Johnny Hendricks.
No, he wasn't over. I'd invite him over though. I like Johnny. I like that Johnny Hendricks a lot. From this show, I feel we got to know him better. I really do, and I like that Johnny Hendricks. But yeah, so my buddy Pete Drago Sell got me a beautiful case to put my belt in, and then so I have the case in my garage, and I must have took the thing out. So I was looking for it the other day because I had some somebody over that maybe wanted to take a picture with it or whatever. So I can't fucking find a thing. I think it's in a shoe bin. I don't.
I hope so.
I gotta. Well,
I hope those thieves that were there that day didn't steal it.
Yeah, if they did, you know, it sucks. But no, because it wasn't in a basement. So I know it's somewhere around. I'll find it. Doesn't matter. It's more about what it represented.
I'm just
excuse me.
Let's talk about
the
card. To me, the most amazing moment of the night, after hearing what I heard, was Alistair Overeem. That to me was the most amazing. I mean, first of all, I didn't think he was going to win. I picked everything wrong again.
Did you really?
Yeah. You know, I'm a big Mark
fan. Well, let me tell you, I thought that Overeem was going to win. I actually had him picked, but I really can't take credit for that pick, because I thought he'd do it on the floor. I didn't think I thought he's going to look to take him down and work him over.
Look, he's got great legs, great kicking.
Yeah, no, listen.
But I thought a punt lands a punch. And Overeem is susceptible for being hit by a big punch and falling.
And his chin, it's not that it's suspect, but it is. Well, I mean, you don't want to say that.
He's
that
a little older. Weird, I mean, he's been fighting for a long time.
Well, when your lights get put out,
yeah.
Again, it's that much more likely that you get hit again. You're going to be going out easier than you did back in the day when you first started, or before you've been through so many wars, you know, before you took so many punches, especially at heavyweight. So, I mean, you know, I was worried about, because even though Mark Hunt's been put down before, he's known for his chin.
I think only once. Didn't he only get put down once? I want to say was it Travis Brown?
No, JDS. JDS. Junior Dos Santos.
Did Velasquez?
Junior Dos Santos did a spin kick him off the head.
Did Verdum fight Hunt or no?
He kneed him in the face.
He did put him in the knee.
Yeah, he's another one that kneed him. Very good, Jimmy. That's right. Jimmy, very, very good.
I was worried about this. Could Mark Hunt, you know, again, like you said, he's been put out a couple times after a long time of not.
Yeah.
And but if he hits you once, you know, he gets the right shot, you're done.
But let's talk about those knees.
Ooh. Over him? Yeah. They don't look as painful as I'm sure they are.
Really?
Yeah, they look unpleasant. In replay, you're like, oh, God, that's
no, that,
awful.
That one, in the first one, you see his knees give and then catch. Like, he almost was dropped right for, it was, he never, that, he, well, it was only a split second after that that he followed up with the following knee that kind of glanced, and then that, that right hand, I believe, that just sealed it. But he was already on his way down.
And do you
and
think,
that is a face plant. That was not pretty.
I'll tell you what Mark Hunt did well. Was they got in the clinch when he closed the distance a little bit, and they got into a clinch, and he was throwing elbows. He threw a couple of fucking great elbows.
Oh, listen, that guy's a you know, he's a dangerous dude. He put to sleep a lot of people. He's known for that Mark Hunt walk off. You know what I mean? The guys are like a tree falling, and he's walking off, already, right? You know, celebrating. But listen, man,
did Overeem look a little heavier than normal to you? He looked like he was. I'm wondering if that was he wanted to bulk up for.
It definitely looked a little Mark bit Hunt. More. Yeah, he looked pretty solid. He looked in really great shape. And he said he took some time. He said he took some time. He could have fought earlier. But what was really impressive is this. And now this is what I think you were about to get to. Is that he had food poisoning.
Food poisoning.
And what's even more impressive, the fact that he fought and he was really sick and in the hospital, is that he didn't mention a thing. He didn't mention it in the cage to Joe Rogan. He wasn't mentioning it backstage during the post-fight press conference. Dana actually went to him, and you hear Dana, because the mic wasn't too far away, he goes, listen, thank you. He went over to him, said in his ear, but it was loud enough where you heard it on the mic until Overeem put the mic down. He goes, listen, thanks for doing that. We appreciate it. And then Dana was going to walk away, and he said, you know what? He goes, look, do you guys know he was sick? He goes, did you know that? He goes, he had food poisoning, throwing up, and all the stuff that comes with it, and that... you know, he was in the hospital. He came back, went back to the hospital. This is, I mean, look, man.
How bad does Mark Hunt feel to know that he got knocked out by a guy who was vomiting and shitting 10 minutes ago? Poor Mark Hunt.
That's definitely a little salt in the wound.
But I mean, Overeem, to have that kind of tank, to be able to do that after vomiting, although I'm sure it helps with a weight cut, but to be puking. What did he eat? What did he eat that gave him food poisoning?
I don't know, man.
I bet you he had sushi. I'm going to bet you it was fucking raw fish.
I wouldn't eat that shit.
Because that's not that fattening. So you could probably eat that the night before a fight.
Dude, I don't know. I'll throw up even without food poisoning.
Did he get it after his cut? Like after the weigh-ins?
I believe so. Because they said right up.
He's not trying to cut though.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, but it wasn't the cut. It was after that. It was like within 24 hours.
But I think the reason he fought was he understood that if he had pulled out of that fight.
Imagine that.
Dana White would have been found swinging by the neck.
Yeah, right.
Poor Dana would not have been able to survive two fights canceled.
Dana made a point of it to go to that and say it. And, you know, there's other guys in the past, whether it's especially after a loss, but they're like, oh, you know, I had a cracked skull or I had this or that. And it's like, whenever they do that, it's like, oh, because I know what it's like to, no pun intended, come up short in a fight and want to be like, yeah, but this happened and that happened, and I could have been better if I had that.
Sure.
But you can't do that because you look like an asshole, and you showed up, your opponent, and you don't know what your opponent has.
That's right.
Nobody's showing up there 100%. Very rarely. Very rarely. Usually in a camp, you have to work around something.
You do, right?
You do.
Like even my little tendonitis that I've complained about, or today, if you want the truth, my little pinky toe on my left foot's hurting, so I couldn't do the weight vest.
I felt it a little today, the tendon. I felt a little like when I was, my Drago cross on me, and I was like, you know, I use my frames. Like I keep frame work up. You understand what I mean by that?
No.
So, well, it's in other words, if my arms are out when somebody's across my side, it's easy for them to get taken in arm locks and, you know what I'm saying, and strangled and whatnot, to set up chokes. But when I have my arms in tight underneath, I can make space. They're not out for the taking. But sometimes when the guy puts the weight, it bends your arm a little more. So that's what you're saying, the tendonitis you might feel.
I'd feel it at a lot of other times as well. I wouldn't just have to be framing. I'd be doing a lot of things.
Oh, I bet.
I
bet. But you know what? Listen, and first of all, so big props to Overeem for that fight, because that is really...
I couldn't get over that. Mark Hunt looked really... Because, first of all, the blonde hair doesn't help when he's bloodied. Hey, what's up, GSP? How you doing, George?
I'm happy George is
calling.
I was
just going to wait until you guys were done.
You know, I'm really happy George is calling, because I don't you know, people think... You know what I don't like? I don't like when people... like they might like me, but they go, oh, man, I love you. I hate that George. I hate that. I go, dude, you could like me and not hate that guy.
Absolutely.
I don't hate George. Why are you hating George?
I like George.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like you don't have to choose one or the other.
I don't like him more than I like you.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. If you said you did like him, why? I swear to, I would leave.
Overeem, Hunt was bloodied, man. He bloodied Mark Hunt. He really beat him. Brutal. Although, Hunt had a couple of really solid moments, and I think he hurt Overeem GSP. Hey, George, how you doing?
Before I forget, and I don't know if you want to get into it now, if we have time before George calls. Because I want to talk about, we have a lot to talk for the main card, and that's what we want to concentrate on. But there's something, first of all, congrats to Albert Morales. I have a little soft spot for the guys we find on Dana White looking for a fight. You see who he fought, right? You know who Albert Morales fought, Crisp and Producer? Do you know that?
Thomas Almeida?
The fuck are you talking about?
What? Oh, on this car.
Can you get with the times and stop fucking
I was texting, trying to get Twittering.
Busy.
I apologize.
You're the producer.
He fought Andre Sukumtet.
Say again?
Andre Sukumtet.
Ooh, Sukumtet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he beat him. And I don't know. Listen, the guys we find on the show, I got a little soft spot for. Because, we're trying to find some talent. I was happy for that guy. But anyway, the fight I wanted to point out was Darren Elkins. And I got performance of the night. One of those. Look at that.
Yeah, he was losing. I just saw that now.
He was, and let me tell you about Mirsad Bektek. I said that right. That guy's a stud and a half. That was his first loss. And he's a young guy, right? He's a young guy. Yeah. We're going to see him again.
Was that his first loss altogether or just in the UFC?
I believe it's his first loss in his professional career.
Am I incorrect by thinking he was 6-1 in his first fight he lost, but he wasn't in the UFC?
I think you're wrong. I'm sorry. I don't mean to attack you. I think you're thinking of the guy who... you're thinking of
You're thinking of David Tamor.
Yeah, that's who you're thinking.
No, but he's 11-1 now, Bektek, because he lost this fight to.
He was 11-0.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
He shouldn't have taken him down in the third. I would have wanted to talk to him about that.
Get him by his ear.
Yeah, going to talk to you.
But I'll tell you, man, that Bektek looked awesome. But in this sport, you can't overlook what people say. Oh, well, skill set. This, they look at just the skill set. And they say, this guy's got this guy outgunned. But there's something to be said, not only about endurance, but about toughness. If a guy's tough, it could make the upset. There's fights where you're looking, and this was pretty bad in a sense where that guy was landing. I'm sorry. Let me look at, where am I looking here?
What do they have, a minute left in the fight?
Bektek, Elkins had a freaking cut on his forehead.
Yep.
That was, I mean... there was no stopping that guy. He was, and the best was, I looked at that tattoo on his, what was it say, the damage?
Damage.
Was it say the damage? That's a, I told you before about neck tattoos, certain guys don't give certain Fs. You see that tattoo?
Damage.
Yeah. The damage.
I have one little... like that. It's my ass. On my ass, I have it. The gassers.
Yeah, fucking A. I can vouch for that. But, let me tell you something. That guy doesn't give a shit. He was tough as nails, and that's one of his attributes. There was a fight I seen ages ago. It was Minotauro. This is back in Pride. Minotauro versus Krokop. Mirko Krokop. And that fight, when I seen that fight, it was the one, Mirko Krokop was kicking him up and down, dropping him, beating him
with
up.
With that big left kick?
It was one of those things where I'm like, it's like, yo, man, he's going to kick. Somebody better stop this. And then I remember the last round, and this was a beating. The last round, this is why Minotauro is like a legendary guy. Like, fighters look up to this guy. He got a takedown, mounted him. The guy threw him off. He ended up getting an arm lock when he was trying to throw him off, and he ended up winning the fight by armbar. And then they picked him up, and it was such an emotional moment. Oh, my God. That's one of those fights you're like, because 1 second, and even a hard, like a tough dude, I was like watching that. I'm like, and I was like, yo, man, this guy, I'm worried about this guy's health. And then when they turned that around, so it was a similar feel.
Sure.
I mean, even though Elkins had his moments in a sense where, oh, look, he's about to turn the tables. He has him up against the fence. It was very short lived until the ending there. So, yeah. I mean, big props to him. And Bektek, we're going to see that guy again because that guy has got a bright future. What a great fight.
That's a heartbreaking. When you look, anytime you blow a fight, it's a bad feeling, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But when it's a minute or two left in the third round of a 3-round fight, it's like it being in a 5-round fight when you're winning and no one has done a whole lot of damage. And then in the 5th round, you wind up getting knocked down and it almost gets stopped.
Tell me about it.
Oof.
My debut, I got stopped with like less than 20 seconds left in a fight I was winning.
I watched that fight recently.
Yeah, well.
Shawnee Carter.
Thank you. Watch the rematch. It's better.
You were fun to watch, though.
Thank you.
I was going to tell Matt how much fun he was to watch.
I used to go
you were nonstop movement.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu.
What an animal.
My stand-up wasn't as
dude,
as,
you were throwing kicks to the head.
Oh,
you
I kicked
him
in the head.
Animal.
Yeah. I was nonstop. I had the foot on the gas. My endurance was very, very good. Ray Longo would really get me in shape.
Yeah.
But I really didn't have the fighter IQ I had
you
as
didn't
in my
stop
30s.
Moving. You didn't stop trying to submit somebody.
I was
very unpleasant looking to fight against.
It was fun, Jimmy. I miss it, Jimmy.
I know you do. Right.
But listen, I like this, though.
I do
next
too.
Next chapter of my life.
So
but
let's talk for a second about this Wonder Boy, Tyron
me.
Woodley.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna go on and off.
Very,
about that.
Very. I felt bad for Thompson, especially since you know.
Well, first of all, who'd you think won?
You know, it's I guess you could say Wonder Boy 3-2, but there is also something to be said with the only damaging moments of the fight were both inflicted by Tyron. And to take a champion's belt, I think you have to do something to him.
I understand. And now we were, and this is what we were talking about actually Saturday night. I was texting you from the castle.
Oh, I forgot you went up there.
I was in the castle.
I was texting Matt. You see that? I didn't mind probably interrupt him. Yeah. I get laid. Sorry, Matt.
I had my wife on top of me. But no, I had a fun time with my wife. We'll talk about that later. What a great time. Listen. It's you get the kids out of the kids out of the picture.
Yeah,
but you get a little time alone. It's nice, you know. But but anyway,
did you have it 3-2, Wonderboy?
I did, and the thing is, I know you have to beat the champ to be the champ. That kind of mentality, but you also look at it round the round. So that might mean something if the scoring's different, but not. I mean, he did outscore me. I think it was handedly. Like I remember going into that fifth round. Thinking, man, he's got to actually stop him.
Well, in the corner, Dean Thomas was telling him, "You have to stop him. You got it. You got to put him out." He was telling him, "You have to knock him out." And
did he say that?
Yes, he told him you have to stop him. I think Tyron's corner was worried, but the reality is, at one point, I think it was in the fourth, or maybe in the fifth, they were even on punches, on significant strikes. And Rogan raised a good point that a lot of those might have come in the second round. Was it the third round when Tyron had him down?
Third round.
So he said a lot of those might have come then, but they were dead even on significant strikes. Again, I know one was over two rounds. By the end of the second round, they both had fucking 9 significant strikes. There was no beating up the champion there.
Yeah. No, yeah,
and I love Wonderboy. There's nobody I want to see champion more.
I think he landed the better shots.
I think so, too. A few good kicks to the side of the face.
I mean, again, when they're on the floor, do they count all those shots as big shots, even though they're not that big of shots? If you got them on the floor a little bit and started landing, like...
Right, yeah.
So that's weird with that, when they say about the shots. It's like, that could be deceiving.
They were very, 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 both so hesitant. And again, really, really respectful of each other. Yeah. And I think both of them understood that one mistake, and you're finished.
I know Dana didn't... I don't think he was crazy about the fight. I know Joe Rogan really enjoyed the fight. I enjoyed the fight because it did have that feel of... It could end at any moment on either side.
I did not enjoy the fight. I thought it was like my husband fight. It's the fucking worst when you're really friends with someone and you like him. I was like, careful.
Yeah, it's funny.
Watch it. He's punching.
Yeah, no, it gets you a little... Like, that got me nervous that last round.
Holy
shit. Yeah, but that was a round where, up until that last flurry, I mean, who was winning that round? I mean...
But that wasn't even... I don't even think that was a dominant round. He was winning it, but I don't think it was a tremendous round. I don't think any of the... Like, again, the only times any damage was really inflicted were both by Tyron. And especially that last moment, and that's what you leave the judges with.
Listen, I remember thinking it's fresh in my mind. I felt that Wonderboy won 3-2.
I think you're right.
You know, and then you get, people make cases for the 10-8.
That terrible. You know, that didn't affect the fight because that was the guy who called it draw, so.
Yeah, but like, I mean, and listen, you know how much I love Wonderboy. Like, a 10-8 round, like, I've seen worse 10-8 round. Like, I know it was the last minute, but he did kind of drop him.
He almost,
it almost stopped the fight. So, I mean, I don't know why they're making that big a deal of the judge that made that a 10-8 round, because isn't that a difference? Like, why is, you're saying that round where he almost stopped him is the same as a round where he just got outpointed and he won a 10, that they're both 10-9 rounds? How are they both 10-9 rounds? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, all right, listen, that guy was almost out. How come in the other fight that was a legit 10-8? And this fight wasn't because
I think in the first
and that
fight,
might have been more of a knockdown.
It was a lot longer. He was dominating him in the round two. I think he spent a lot more time on the ground. I think he did a lot more damage in that first fight. And he was on the ground a lot longer.
And he really
knocked him down. I think it was twice he knocked him down in
I could see
round four.
A case made for both. I really could. But I don't think it's unheard of That it, sure. And I didn't, and that's my guy. I'm just saying. I don't think it's unheard of that it's a 10-8.
I didn't mind them giving it to Tyron Woodley, even though I was heartbroken for Wonder Boy. But like the bottom line was, he didn't do any damage to Woodley. Like he was very careful. I thought they were both very respectful of each other and
almost
very,
too respectful. No, I mean honestly, to make it as exciting as you'd want it to be.
Look, just because they neither you understood that if you throw a lazy kick. I think he threw like one leg kick. Yeah. If you throw a lazy kick, like he said, no more lazy kicks, but he didn't throw
them at
all.
If you're throwing them up high, you got to throw them too then. In other words, I thought the key to Wonderboy to win would be a little bit, just be more active and make him work more.
Right.
I feel he made corrections, but it's hard to nitpick because I feel like almost a cock doing it. Because
you're not nitpicking, we're just guessing.
Yeah,
we're just talking about the fight.
Yeah, of course. That's our job.
Yeah, look, I think they were both, here's what I think they were both afraid of. I think Thompson was aware that even though he survived a lot, Tyron can really hurt you if he hits you. So I think he was worried about that and being overcautious. And I also think Tyron was overcautious because he knew he gave fucking Wonderboy everything he had and that fucker still got up and beat him the next round. So they both had a reason to be extremely cautious. He didn't want to gas, and I think that he didn't want to get knocked out and possibly... That's personally my take on it, because why else would they both be so cautious when they both wanted to win the fight?
I know. And... that ship has sailed, so I want to see what's next for the champ.
Yeah, I mean, look, Wonderboy will still be in the top. What do you think his ranking is now? Your third?
I want to see who they put Wonderboy with now, too, because Wonderboy, it's not like his stock goes down. I mean, he had two shots at the title now, and you can make a case that he won both, or you can make a case that he lost both. I mean, you know what I mean? So
Tyron just did more damage. It does. They were saying it does show something. He's getting that GSP on the phone.
What's going on across over there?
There's other fights to talk about too.
Oh, listen, I don't know what order we're going in, but that Rashad Evans fight, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I like that Dan Kelly.
Dan Kelly is fun to watch.
I love when guys have a unique style.
Is there anything better than listening to Dominic Cruz talk about how Dan Kelly just doesn't give a shit about the pain? Dominic Cruz is awesome.
Oh, let's talk about that for a second.
I love him.
Oh, what do we got there?
Of course, finally, George St. Pierre. Hello, George.
Hey guys, do you hear me?
Let me see. Is this on a cell phone?
Oh my god! I thought I lost my cell phone. I was looking everywhere. It wasn't my car. It was not in the gym. I was freaking out. Oh my god!
No, listen. When you feel you lose your phone, it's the worst feeling in the world. I thought that happened to me the other day. I left it in my buddy's car, and I was beside myself. And it's really sad.
Oh no! I'm really sorry. We make more time after, if you don't mind. I'll stay longer. I'm so sorry, man. I really apologize.
Nah, George, no problem, man. I'm happy. I wish you were in studio. Weren't you just in New York? Are you going to be? I know you're going to be working a lot with John Danaher in these upcoming weeks.
Wait a second, this is Matt Serra. I didn't know. I knew I had an interview. They didn't tell me it was with you. What's up, man? How are you?
Oh, God, George, I miss you, man. I was hoping, because I know you're in the city so much, that working with our buddy John Danaher, that I was hoping you'd be in studio.
Oh, man. But next time I come, I'll do it. But now I'm in Montreal right now.
We're definitely going to keep you to that. But how's things, man? I'm so excited, as is everybody, that you're coming back, man.
Yeah, I'm very happy. Finally, the discussion, the negotiation works well, and I'm very happy,
What made you want to come back at middleweight? Just an easier cut, or did you want to fight sooner than Tyron Woodley would have been able to?
Well, look, the truth is this, okay? When we first started the negotiation, Wonderboy was already scheduled to fight Woodley, and it's actually John Danaher that made me think of it. He says, why don't you go against Michael Bisping? Now you have time to gain weight, and it's a new challenge. Wonderboy is your friend. He's fighting Woodley. It was a perfect opportunity, and I saw it as a good opportunity because I want to make history. I wanted to do something that had never been done. I wanted to get the two titles. And then after, the discussion started to fight Bisping in Canada. And during that time, Wonderboy and Woodley fought. They made a draw, so they had to fight again. So that's why I'm fighting Bisping, And he's a guy. He's a guy to beat. He's a guy who's the stocks is the highest right now. He's the biggest draw right now.
And you've been out for a little over 3 years, and I think November of 2013. What kind of sparked your decision to come back, and were any health issues that kept you out, have they been resolved?
No, the thing is, I always wanted to come back. It was the back of my head. I didn't like. I was not happy the way the sport was when I stopped. At the time, I was. You know, I believe it's like a triangle. You're physical, emotional, and mental. If one of these three things doesn't work well, it affects your performance. You know. And for me, I had like problem, like mental and physical. I was tired. I was drained. You know, carrying a title, it's a lot of weight on your shoulder. People, they don't realize it. It's only a few people that can understand that. It's hard to be champion. It's even harder to stay champion. Believe me on that. And I had a lot of pressure. I was, you know, the problem with the performance enhancing drug at the time. So I was just tired. I felt like I felt a little bit like claustrophobic, so to speak. And the time I took off was very good. Things has improved a lot in the sport. And now I feel I'm in my prime. So I don't want to waste my prime. I love the sport and I want to go back and make history.
Now, George, one of the things that I've been thinking about this, you fighting at middleweight. And I remember, I don't remember who exactly I can't quote exactly who said it, but I believe it was when you were working at Jackson's and you were sparring with a lot of middleweights. As far as with the feet, the floor, like, you know, John Danaher says you're an expert at the shoot box. Does that give you confidence that you worked with a lot of bigger dudes and maybe you feel confident putting them down? Like you had good sparring sessions with a lot of respected middleweights?
Yeah, I spar with middleweight. I spar with light heavyweight too. I even spar with heavyweight sometimes, but the thing is, at the time, we were doing it. I don't believe if the guys are heavier, they're better. I don't believe that. The only thing why we don't do it so often is because some freak accident can happen when you slip because the weight of difference. Doesn't mean the guys are better. They might hit harder. They might have more weight, carry more weight. It's an advantage, but doesn't mean they're better. And I was doing very well. The problem is just the injuries. It could have the chance of injuries, especially during practice, because you need, if you fight a middleweight or a bigger guy, you need to spar with better bigger guy to recreate the same environment. That's why I was not very a big fan of doing it. But now is the perfect timing to do it. I have time to gain a little bit of weight in the as much as I can, and we'll see what's gonna happen. I'm very confident.
And George, how many fights do you have? Are you contracted for?
Four fights.
Okay.
Nice.
Yes.
And do you plan on staying at middle? No, I know. Obviously, it depends on what happens against Bisping. But are you planning on staying at middleweight, or has the thought of going back down to welterweight at some point occurred to you?
Look, I'm gonna tell you the truth. It depends what happened, and it depends of how it's gonna happen. If I feel great at middleweight, maybe I stay there. If I feel I'm missing it's not good, you know. I don't feel good. Maybe I go down. Maybe I there's three weight class I can fight at. I'm not lying to you. I'm not a big welterweight. I'm a normal size welterweight. I walk around 185, between 185 and 190. Even some lightweight are bigger than me sometimes. And I feel I could do 155. I'm not a big fan of cutting weight. I always prioritize my health over my performance. And by the way, I believe the new weigh-in in the morning before the fight, I think it's a bad thing because now guys they see it as an opportunity to cut more weight. So I think it's a bad thing. I told Dana when I saw him, I don't see it as a good thing. Wow. But anyway, I think they have to change it because one day someone will die. It will affect all of us. It's very bad for your health. Should learn maybe from boxing, maybe do a weigh-in the month before, do a weigh-in the day before and the day of the fight, so you have a certain percentage of your mass that you cannot have, you know, and lose. So everybody will be on point, and there will not be any discrepancy of, is he a lightweight, a middleweight, or you will fight at your weight, you know what I mean?
Oh, you mean, so have a one-month-out one, so again, somebody can't have to, you know, be 30 pounds over and have to cut that right before the fight if they have to weigh in a month prior.
Absolutely. It makes a big difference, and I believe it's been done. It's been done at boxing before, and I think it should be done in MMA because one day someone will die. I mean, I it's sad to say, but it's very bad. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous, and then long term, it's very bad for your body.
Well, look what happened with Khabib this weekend. I mean, that was a bummer, man. I was really looking forward to that fight with Khabib, and that weight cut hit him hard. So that's a bummer.
And also, if you do it with this way, with a weigh-in the month before the fight, guys won't be able to they will be more regulated. They won't be able to lose, to miss weight all the time, because they're gonna have to fight the at their own weight class. You know what I mean? I think it would be a good initiative, but you know, it's, who am I? You know, I'm the only one who think that. Maybe there's other guys. You know, if I'm the only one to talk loud about it, I think it's never gonna happen.
George, you said about a month. When they weigh in a month before, I don't know, do they have to be at fighting weight, or can they? Do they have to be a certain amount of pounds over fighting weight? What's the rule on that when they weigh in a month before?
No, they have a percentage of your body mass that they're not allowed to pass. There's a certain, let's say you're you fight, for example, at 205, but you're not allowed to be, for example, to lose 20% of your body mass. You know what I mean? So there is a certain percentage. There is a critic percentage that it affect your it could affect your well being. It could be very dangerous. Okay. There is a certain percentage of dehydration in your body that is critical. That you can actually die if you're past that point, and it's very dangerous.
George, I seen the press conference with Michael Bisping. I enjoyed the hell out of that. The first of all, him coming in late and either hungover or after an all night bender, drinking, and your banter back and forth. I think it's gonna make the fight fun. To be honest with you, did you enjoy that press conference, or does he get under your skin at all? You handled it like a professional.
Well, I don't really look, Matt, I'm gonna tell you the truth, man. English is not my first language. I speak much better English than before.
Yeah.
And also, it's not that it's not my first language. I'm just not good at trash talking. Some guys are just so good. Like Charles Sonnen is amazing. Yeah. Conor McGregor is amazing. Yeah. I pick my fight very carefully. I cannot get into a war of words. Even though I don't consider Bisping as a good trash talker, I think he's horrendous. I think he's terrible. He's not even good at trash talking. He's doing the best thing for me. He's the more he talks, the more he embarrasses himself, you know? So I don't really care. But some guys I like, for example, like Conor McGregor or Charles Sonnen, I would never be able to get into a war of word with them, because they're just so good. But Michael Bisping, he thinks he's good, but he's terrible. You know, everything he says doesn't make sense. And the more he opens his mouth, the more he embarrasses himself. So for me, it's a good thing.
That's so good.
Well, that was a pretty good response.
That's so great. That's so great.
And George, you mentioned three weights. Now, obviously, middleweight, welterweight. What was the other weight? Were you thinking of going lightweight or 155?
Yeah, I couldn't make it to lightweight. Ferraz told me, my coach Ferraz told me a long time ago, he said, why don't you fight lightweight? He keep bugging me, telling me that I should fight lightweight if I want to make a super fight. I said, I never tried it, but I'm pretty sure it would be easy to do, because a lot of the lightweight guys are my size, you know, when they off season.
George, you know, one of the things that stood out, and I think it's an unfair criticism of you, and Bisping said it the other day, some other guy said it, and they say, oh, George, you're a great athlete, but you're not a fighter. That's the difference. You're not a fighter. I think that's very unfair. Now, let me tell you something. I've seen fights. First of all, I mean, I could name your fight with BJ Penn, where he got you bloodied up and you came back to win the next two rounds. Your fight with Carlos Condit, when he kicked you in the head and you had to survive that and come back. Your fight versus, wait, what's the other one I'm thinking of?
Matt Serra?
No. Well, yeah. When you kicked my ass. It, no. It's not that.
Johnny Hendricks, too. He punched me in the fifth round. I came back hard. You know, I've shown it through my career. The thing is, I believe that I show a lot of heart through a lot of my fight. A lot of the fight that I had, I dominate most of the round, all the rounds. But if you're winning a fight, it's up to the other guy to take a chance to open up, to make himself available for an open up to win the fight. No. If you're winning and everything goes well, it's the art of war, my friend. If everything goes well, you keep doing what you're doing. If you're winning the fight, it's in America, sometimes we don't understand that, because in our culture, a lot of guys go see a bloodbath or a slugfest. But if you go in Asia, they understand that very well. It's the principle of the art of war. You know what I mean? If I'm losing a fight, if the fight is tight, I need to open up. I'm going to have to take risk, and I need to open up, and I'm aware of it. But a lot of the guys that I fought, I would say I beat them mentally before that I beat them physically in a fight. So they accept the defeated even before the end of the fight. So that's why the fight, I got a lot of criticism being boring because the guy, they didn't open up to me, and I was just winning. If I'm winning a fight and everything goes well, it's up to my opponent if he's losing to open up and create opportunity. Me, if I'm winning, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm winning, you know what I mean? I'm doing very well. You know what I mean? That's a real... That's a real strategy of fighting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
and if you don't do it that way, most of guys that don't do it this way, they have a very short career and their health is not very good at the end of their career.
Well, I think that's you know, has to do with a lot of your success. I mean, again, I said it before with John Danaher saying, he says it, George is a master of the shoot box. That's what he says. I call it, when I used to spar, I used to call it feet the floor. But from closing, you have a very good... And I felt it firsthand, especially in our second fight. You have a very good sense of closing that distance, and your timing on your takedowns is just uncanny. It's just so on point. Like for instance, when we were fighting our second fight, and you were you have a very good jab. You were jabbing me in my head. There's times in sparring when I let guys jab my head and I wait like it's bothering me, and then I get close and I fire off a right hand. When you're jabbing me in my head, I remember being like, all right, keep doing it. I'm going to get you. And then I threw the right hand and you shot exactly when I tried to hit you. And I was just like, ah, shit.
well, Matt, the main reason is that happened is because you knocked me out in the first fight, so I knew your right hand was very dangerous, so I was aware of it.
Well, I'll tell you, George, I mean, people, you know, they bring up the first fight a lot, but, you know, hey, listen, as far as I'm concerned, we have a clean slate because you got me back in Canada, my friend, and you were on point in that second fight. And at my very best, I feel, in that fight, I might have went the distance, but... I feel like, you know, you were just so on point. You out fought me, and you were phenomenal in Canada, buddy.
But thank you. We both have our day. We both have our days.
That's right. We have a clean slate now. We both had good days in there with each other.
Yes, exactly.
And have you seen Hendricks move up to 185? And what did you think of him against Hector Lombard? How good did he look at 185? He looked very comfortable.
I think he's comfortable, but I believe the best Johnny Hendricks that I've seen is gone. When he fought John Fitch, Martin Kaufman, Carlos Condit, when he fought me, I think this Johnny Hendricks is gone. I didn't feel the same pop, the same explosiveness, the same... maybe he's going to prove it wrong at 185, maybe. But I feel he's not the same anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Johnny's been on this show before, and he's just another nice guy, and I remember talking to him, being like, and I asked him, I go, Johnny, and I brought up those fights. I talked about all the guys he stopped, besides you, of course. I brought up the guys that he stopped, and I go, Johnny, I go, you just don't look like as ferocious as you once did. I go, what's the deal? And then that's when he got into the weight cutting and whatnot. But he did look, even though he wasn't that as ferocious as he's been when he fought you and those other fights, he did look the best he's been looking lately.
He looked really good at 185, better than he has in the last three fights.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, it's true. I agree. We'll see what's going to happen next for him. If he bounced back like he was before, maybe, I believe he has the tools to go back and... the title contention for 185, you know?
Did Michael Bisping winning the middleweight championship, because it really was, it's an amazing story of how he got the belt, and nobody saw this coming. Did that kind of inspire you to come back and say, I think, was he 37 when he won the belt? I mean, did that kind of make you think, hey, man, there is room for me to come back?
As much as an idiot when he's trying to trash talk me, he is, I admire him as an athlete. What he did, it was incredible, guys. He's 37, I believe. He took the fight on a short notice. Like, some guy didn't want to take the fight. This guy got balls. I'm going to tell you the truth. He did not rob the title. He won it, and he deserved it. He's been very outspoken against performance-enhancing drug.
Yep.
He's one of the guys, I believe, from what I've heard, he didn't make a lot of money as much as he should have made. And as an inspiration of, as an athlete he is for me, I saw it a great opportunity to come back and fight him.
And you've been open in the past about ring rust and your thoughts. How do you feel after 3.5 years? How do you kind of combat that?
Well, it's not like I've been sitting on the couch for the last three and a half years. I enjoy my life. I did some other things. I love paleontology, dinosaurs. I had a chance to travel the world, go on site, things like that. But I always stay in shape, always train. You're never going to see me. And you're never going to find a period of my life since, I mean, I've never been fat in my life. I've never been out of shape. I'm always, you see my abs, you know, physically I look good. I mean, even though I go on vacation, drinking and stuff, enjoying my life, I always keep myself in shape. There's a line that I never cross.
Me too, George. No, actually, no. I can't. What are you laughing at, George? I'm only kidding. That's great. Yo, George, you're a big movie buff. You know, I saw Logan.
I saw it last night.
How great was that?
Amazing.
Did you see Logan?
I did not. I plan on seeing it tonight.
Do you really? Because you're a movie guy. You're into that stuff, no?
I love the Marvels too. You know, they're awesome.
Is that just because
my favorite was Doctor Strange so far? It was amazing.
Wait a second. What about Winter Soldier? You were in Winter Soldier. You fought Captain America.
Winter Soldier was good. Winter Soldier was all right, but I like Doctor Strange. To me, was the best Marvel movie they did. I mean, it was really good.
Now tell me, I like Doctor Strange. I thought it reminded me a little bit of like the Matrix and kind of an Iron Man in between. What did you like so much about it? Because he wasn't my favorite character. That's why maybe I wasn't so into it like I am with Logan. But what would you like so much about Doctor Strange?
I like the charisma of, I think a lot of it has to do with the actor. I think the actor did an incredible job. He had a lot of charisma. He's a very charismatic guy. And it's like fighting. A lot of the most popular fighters are popular because of their charisma.
Yes.
Sometimes it has to do with their performance, but it has to do way more with their charisma. If you have a good charisma, you're going to sell the fight, either if you win or lose. If you have a good charisma, that's what sells, my friend.
And for a long time, we heard about GSP Anderson Silva's super fight. Now that he's fighting at middleweight, is that still possible, or do you think the time for that is past?
It is possible. The truth is this. And it is the truth. The only time I've been offered to fight Anderson Silva formally, like a real offer, was after my fight with Johnny Hendricks when I retired. But it's not because it was Anderson Silva. I would not have fought nobody. You would have put a midget of 3 foot tall. I would not even fought him. I wouldn't want to fight. I was tired. I needed to take time off. There is talk. We talk about Anderson Silva many times with Lorenzo and Dana. And what I wanted to do at the time, it was a big lineup of contenders in my division. And if I would have fought him at the time, because I had to defend my title too, I would have done a catch weight, 177, with Vada. Because Vada was, USADA was not in place back then. And I wanted to do the Vada testing for a performance enhancing drug, but they didn't like, I think the UFC didn't really like the idea at the time. But then after I had to fight other guys, after I blew up my ACL, then I was, a lot of guys were waiting for me to come back. Then I didn't have a time to stop. I didn't have the opportunity to.
Well, and George, how do you feel that USADA has done cleaning up the sport?
It's better than it was, but I believe USADA, the system of USADA is made to catch guy on a long term, not on a short term. It's made to catch a guy on a long term. VADA, it's made to catch guy on a short term, not on a long term. You understand that?
Yeah, what's
some
the
guys
difference?
Some system is made to catch a guy on the long term, right, like USADA, because the way they take the blood and so it's good too. It's just different system.
And what's the difference in the other testing that catches you on the short term? How do they do that?
The VADA, you know, they got to test for a certain thing. It's like every sport demands different physicality. For example, if you're a guy that do Tour de France, like a bicycle, you're going to use substance like EPO and stuff like that, that you know they're going to test it for certain stuff. It's mandatory. For, example, if you're a sprinter, you're going to use some drug that's going to increase your explosion, you know, your reaction time. So in fighting, for instance, it's a lot of stuff for testosterone they use, the guy. You know, we know it. It's not a secret. We know it. So they know that we know that they're going to test. It's mandatory that we can tell they're going to test for testosterone and boosting for the testosterone for synthetic drug, certain synthetic drug. But USADA, you don't know. You don't know if they test for that, or you don't know if they test for weed or for cocaine. I personally don't care if my opponent smoke a joint before the fight. I hope he actually does, because it's going to help me. I care if he takes testosterone, EPO, and stuff like that. That's what I care about.
Now, let me ask you, George, are you going to be spending a lot of time in the city with John Danaher? How important is John Danaher going to be in this camp? Because that guy is, I call him the evil genius. He really is got a unique mind, and I know he plays such a role. Are you going to be here in the city a lot?
I call him Supreme Master.
The guy's brilliant.
Like in Star Wars.
Yes, exactly.
I'll be there like every month.
Oh,
I come very often, drilling, training with the squad, you know?
Yes, definitely. Well, listen, I can't wait. We're going to have, before the fight, when is the fight scheduled? Do we know?
No dates been announced, right?
All right.
Are you looking towards maybe the summer? I'm guessing, are they going to use that as the bigger July 4th?
I believe we'll be more after the summer, Because I need to gain some weight. A lot of things I need to do through the USADA. A lot of stuff need to be done before. So I'm going to start right now a diet. I'm waiting to have the program. I'm going to try to gain as much weight as possible. You know, like I might be able to gain 5-10 pounds of muscle mass. We'll see. And so I want to make it right. You know, it's a new turnaround for my career. I want to make it right. I want to make history. I'm planning to do it well. Fighting is not about who got the biggest balls. It's not about that. Sometimes it's about choice that you make in your life. And things like that, you know. It's not about who make the more noise. By fighting, if you want to be successful in this racket, you need to be smart and do the right choice at the right time.
And before we let you go, what was Bisping your first choice of a fight, or were there other options that were kind of put before you and you chose Bisping?
I wanted to fight Tyron Woodley at one time, but he got scheduled to fight Wonderboy. Even Tyron put some text message between. I don't know why he put the text message between me and I talking, because he texted me, said, "Would you fight me?" I said, "Yes, I would fight you." But then he put it in public, and people were like, criticizing, "Oh, yeah, they tried to make up a fight. They threatened." I'm like, "I'm not threatened. We just, you know," he had my number. He asked me if I wanted to fight him. I said, "Yeah, I would fight him." But then it didn't work out. Wonderboy is a friend of mine, good friend of mine. He stepped in and he had the fight, so I was very happy for him, and I thought it was a great opportunity. So I said, you know what, he's going for a welterweight title. I'm gonna go for a middleweight title.
What did you think of the Woodley Thompson fight? It was bit of a controversial decision. People kind of split down the middle how they felt it went. What did you think?
So where I was, we were six guys watching the fight. We all thought Wonderboy won 3 of the 5 rounds. But the round that I've been win the more decisively is the one that Tyron Woodley won. So it could go either way, you know, the way, depend the way you see it. For sure, Wonderboy is a friend of mine, so I see every round, when it goes decision, I see every round like a new fight. Every round is like a fight. I believe Wonderboy won 3 fights in 3 of those 5 fights. But the one that Tyron Woodley won was very decisive.
Yeah. And also, I think the other round he won is when he had him on the ground too. So any damage inflicted seemed to be done by Woodley.
Yes, exactly.
Well, we're really psyched that you're back, and you sound great. Like, you sound really ready to go, and you sound very mentally healthy. So come in and see us. We would love to have you in studio when you're in New York. We're here twice a week.
Definitely, man. Maybe I'll see you down at Henzo's too. I'll be popping in over there too, George.
Awesome, man. Take good care, man, and I'm glad talking to you guys. Sorry again for the... I'm late, man. I really apologize.
Don't apologize, buddy. Thank you so much for talking, Georgie. I'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.
Take care, buddy.
What a nice guy.
He's always a nice guy.
But he sounds very healthy mentally.
It always bothered me when people would, like, always, like... It was, like, a compliment, but then... I love you and I hate that Canadian. I'm like, yo, come. And he's the, and this is him. This is George. He's been like that from day one. He's just been a nice dude.
Well, I was one who said that I didn't, you know, I don't need to see him fight again. But after hearing the way he sounds right now, he sounds really great and very, very clear. Like, now I really want to see him fight.
I thought that was very interesting when he brought up how John, because John Danaher's got a, the guy's a very, we're going to have him in here when you're in here. Yeah. You'll pick up on
it. I may have
right
to go
away.
In there and train with John Danaher. Yeah. I've never taken a class in my life. But show me how to leg lock real quick, John. Yeah.
The guy is the guy's got one of the best minds on the planet for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
For advanced Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he could bring up a white belt. I mean, he could bring, sure. Like I was taught, it was funny. If you listen to the episode with him in here, we were discussing jiu-jitsu, and he was saying that if he had his own curriculum from day one, he wouldn't even teach them, because he's known for his leg locks, that especially lately, because his guys are killing it. His guy Gordon, oh shit, fuck, what the hell's Gordon's
commissioner
name? No man. Oh. I know the guy
Gordon Jump,
oh,
from WKRP in Cincinnati.
What's Gordon that just won the EBI last night? Holy shit, man. Gordon loves jiu-jitsu. Gordon Ryan. I don't believe I had that brain fart, because I the guy's unknown guy. He just won the EBI that's on the UFC Fight Pass, by the way. And he just won that thing. And he didn't even win with leg locks. I believe he won with strangles. The guy, no, John could make a complete, just, you know, he's phenomenal. But again, he is a huge part of George's camp, because he really is like the mastermind in there, and he gets the he's so smart with getting the fight to the floor and without taking damage. That's why George gets a lot of shit, because he leaves these fights clean. But it's not like he gets a guy down and holds him. He's getting him down. He's beating him up. Sometimes a guy will get back up and then he'll do it again. It's up for these guys to stop him.
There, and by the way, there is a point that he raised, a great point about the boxing. I hadn't thought of that. I didn't realize they did that. But why not, to keep guys a little bit healthier?
What's that?
With the weighing in a month before? Yeah. Because the weight thing seems to me like it's up to the individual fighter to not do that to himself. But I guess it's hard when you know your guys, you're fighting somebody who's 20 pounds heavier than you. But I asked Stephen when he was in, is it more, and I remember the clumsy question, I tripped over like a dopey fruit. But is it more advantageous to fight somebody at your natural weight who happens to be heavier than you, who has had to weight cut, but you're fresher? And to me, it seems like with Khabib, it's a bigger advantage to fight somebody who at your own weight.
Yeah, well Frankie did that for years. That was what his advantage was. You know, he wasn't cutting any weight when he was fighting at lightweight.
Yeah, if you got to cut 5 pounds a week of, all right, three pounds.
Yeah,
but
again,
you missed by 6 pounds.
It's a weird thing. I mean, look at Johnny Hendricks, and now he's got a, what if he fights a guy like Chris Weidman? He'll be up to his chest. I mean, so I understand, like, guys want to be the biggest in their weight class and this and that.
Chest.
What do you got there?
I understand what you're saying.
By the way, why did George have to bring up that he always has abs? Why'd that get me upset? Because I don't have abs?
Because you thought he was saying it in reference to you. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you'll always have abs.
He wasn't saying that. George is too nice to attack anybody.
That's what I'm saying.
Like when I was bringing up him jabbing me in the head and taking me down, and he's like, it's because of your right hand. Like he throws in a compliment. George is
a lovely guy.
What a good guy.
I'd be happy. You know what? And it's funny. I almost asked him, because he did take 3 years off.
Yes.
And I know he was training. I almost said to him,
what?
Dude, when you were like, you know, you were in between jobs, you were looking to earn a little extra money, right? He would probably say, yeah. And I'd say, well, you may be thinking about putting some money away to your kid's college fund. He probably would have said, yes, I am.
Yeah.
And I was going to say to him, you're going to go back to school, maybe get another degree. He probably would have said no. And I was going to say, you're going to write the next great American novel and you need some inspiration or a little time. And he would have said, shut up, Jim. What are you saying?
What are you
saying? Drive with Lyft.
Oh, Lyft.
Lyft.
Oh, I was wondering where you would. Lyft. I love Lyft.
It's the ride sharing app that lets you be your own boss, pick your own hours, and more importantly, earn up to $1,500 a week.
Oh.
Driving your own car, which you're going to do anyway.
Yes.
Look, there's other rideshare apps out there, sure, but Lyft treats their drivers right. It's a flexible way to make extra money anytime from nearly anywhere. All you need is a car and, like I've said, a head and two hands. Maybe not even two hands.
What?
Maybe one hand.
One hand?
Lyft drivers can make up to $35 an hour, and you're getting started. It's like a tap away to get started.
Tap.
Lyft drivers can earn tips through the app. They really do add up fast, and you don't need to wait days or weeks to get paid. You can cash out instantly once you've made $50 thanks to Express Pay. It all adds up. Driving with Lyft, it's super flexible, allows you to keep 100% of your tips so you don't have to pool them with some bum. And always there when you need some extra cash. And again, I've raised this before, comedians, actors, maybe you're a musician. You don't, you know, what am I going to do? Now, the one guy went to rehab. I got to make some extra money before he gets in a month that he's in rehab. You know, because I'm the clarinet player, but he's the lead singer. He's more important. So what? You know what? You drive around, you lift.
Yes.
Drive around, lift, and you can make your own hours or your own boss. See, people didn't know where I was going with that, but I brought it home.
Lift.
Sign up today. It's LYFT.com/unfiltered. That way, my pal Matt and Chris, the producer, we all get credit for this, and we do not get fired for bringing in no money.
I love Lyft.
Right now, Lyft has a special offer for our listeners. I said my listeners. Why'd they change that to our listeners?
I think they finally changed it.
Oh. I thought it was our listeners.
My listeners.
I'm sorry.
All right. You get $500, new driver bonus. After you complete 100 rides within 30 days, that's three a day. If you can't do that, you should just be not earning any money.
Right.
Go to LYFTLyft.com/unfiltered today so you can start making some extra money and getting your $500 new driver bonus. Limited time only and restrictions do apply. LYFT.com/unfiltered. Don't be a goose.
This is UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports UFC Unfiltered. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, it's important to work with someone you can trust who has your best interest in mind. And with Rocket Mortgage, you'll get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial info to get mortgage approval in minutes. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. Whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/unfiltered. That's quickenloans.com/unfiltered. An equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Now, you know, Khabib, look, they did release a statement.
Oh, really?
Khabib Nurmagomedov.
What did he say?
They said, look, Tony, tough shit. You knew I had to lose.
What?
I kid. I just wanted to see if you were paying attention.
Wow, I was, obviously.
I feel bad for Tony, currently resting in his room. We're not thinking about what's next at this time. I want to sincerely apologize to Tony, his team, the UFC and the fans. We were all looking forward to this fight very much. And Tony, and these guys do not like each other, or it seems they don't like each other. But Tony said on Twitter, I hope you feel better, Khabib. I pray for your recovery. I mean it. Get better. So I guess that when you see a guy, because they said that he really needs to rest after this weight cut. He wound up in the hospital that morning. He didn't go to the hospital that maybe he could have gone to. Dana was indicating that he should have called UFC's doctors.
Exactly, right. Because otherwise they would have did the proper steps to make sure if he couldn't fight, he couldn't fight. But they know how to go about it the right way instead of some, you know, hospital where they just throw you in there and the first thing they do is fill you full of fluids.
Was there a reason for that, do you think?
Well, I think he said he felt some pain. I don't know. That's
pain
what they
where?
Were saying. Who knows? Kidneys or whatever. They don't know. I mean, but he felt some pain, so they got nervous.
But I mean, why didn't he go to the UFC's doctors?
Who knows, man?
Doesn't he know? Dana's not saying it could have been salvaged. He said it could have been different. He said what could have been different is if he had called Dr. Jeff Davidson or Brianna Madison, the two who have handled all the medical UFC stuff.
Yeah.
They would have brought him right to the hospital. Apparently, he was treated horrible at Sunrise Hospital Medical Center in Las Vegas. Shocker here in Vegas. That's no shock. He should have gone to Valley Hospital Medical Center. When you walk in just some random hospital here in Vegas and they see the guy, they tell him about the weight cut, they just start filling him with fluid.
Yeah,
I wonder why they did
that.
Why? Is it? And again?
Because they feel he's dehydrated.
Why didn't they go to UFC guys?
Oh, dude, who knows? They're going to be kicking themselves about that.
Or,
you know? Or what? No, I don't think he wanted out unless he really was.
I'm not saying he wanted out. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, you're making a face.
Making a face. I do make faces. I can't help.
Listen, all
I'm
I know
twitching.
Is, and Tony, he said the right thing afterwards.
Yeah,
and that was very respectful of him. But Dana did say when he broke the news to him, he was as bad as you could be.
Sure.
I mean, who would? It's just
Ferguson was ready, man.
And after going through a camp. I you almost feel like you have to get something out. It's like, what? That's why I feel bad.
Does he get no money now?
No, I'm sure he's going to have to the show money at least. I believe they're going to have to do something.
Well, he offered to step in. Michael Johnson, who's a real, you know, a warrior, obviously, offered to step in and fight. Yeah. I will not say it. El Kukui on short notice. The UFC did take the offer.
Why would you say that?
I don't know.
All right.
They did take the offer to Tony, but Tony did decline. He tweeted, Michael tweeted, I was ready and willing To make that title wait for the last minute, unfortunately, Tony Ferguson declined to catch you around next time. And Tony responded, respect for your willingness to step in. UFC told me it wasn't for the title and it was for less pay, willing to fight for the right price. Look, I get that it was not the Nurmagomedov fight that we all wanted and were giddy about.
Yeah.
But to lower the money, like, it's not Tony's fault.
No, Tony, listen, Dana, like they like, Dana said he doesn't blame Tony at all for that.
No, but why not just pay him the same amount of money?
Yeah.
I mean, how much do you think the money difference was? I don't know what these guys make.
It was probably something up there, though.
But I mean, don't you think that the pay-per-view buys, the hit they're going to take in pay-per-views, they might have made up, and they might have made up the money if they just paid Tony the money, because Michael Johnson, he's still fighting.
We better get Dana on the phone.
I would like to ask him about that.
Yell at him.
Because, you know, Tony obviously was not prepared for Michael Johnson. He probably, he maybe didn't want to deal with that. Like, why deal with that fucking guy who beat him when Khabib could be ready in 3 months, and you're already healthy?
Yeah, listen.
Train a little bit. Beep, but a boop, but a beep, but a boop. He wants to talk.
With the situation, I feel he made the right call.
Do you? Okay, maybe.
I do.
I'm just a greedy fight fan.
Listen, I was devastated while I was attacking my wife at the Oika Castle.
Yeah, you didn't sound too devastated when you were fucking.
What a good time.
They're doing whatever it is you were doing.
What a good time.
Up there.
You gotta, sometimes you need that for a healthy relationship, man. I've been with my wife almost 10 years.
Absolutely.
I mean, married. Married 10 years. You need that. You need that alone time, Jimmy.
I know you do.
You know?
Yes, you do.
It's not the same thing when the kids fall asleep. You need the, you know.
You need some time to talk dirty loud.
Just, you know, just go back like a time machine.
Yeah.
You know? We didn't even take the same car. We took separate cars. We kind of bumped into each other in a castle.
Did you really?
No, not at all.
Other than
that would have been creepy.
I'll meet you there.
I'd be like, oh. Sometimes I mess around with her. I'm like, so, you come here often? She's like, yeah, stop it. And I play around.
I'll meet you by the Pepsi machine.
I'll meet you by the Pepsi machine. Anyway, what else, Jimmy? Oh, yeah, we were talking about
Leno Vanata against David Taymor. That was a tremendous, tremendous fight.
Taymor's tough. Who was the favorite
tough.
In that?
That was Vanata.
Yeah, I would think Vanata was probably favored in that. That's like the silver lining of the Khabib Tony Ferguson fight coming off.
It was a fun fight. That was a fun fight, man. And he's tough, that Taymor.
He's very, very tough.
Wow, and he's
great striker.
And it's in the beginning, man, you're like, oh, Lando's landing some stuff.
But he got a little tired, but so was Taymor. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not going to mention.
I like the way Taymor started adding those takedowns in. They were like very like well timed, and it was might have made a big. It made a big difference. You know,
nobody wants to hear a man like me with a muffin top over his belt buckle discussing people who river dance with their hands down. I just think he's got to be careful.
River dance?
He fights. He's fun to watch, if not a man. He's a fun motherfucker to watch. Because he looks like he's river dancing.
You're saying he's river dancing?
He really, I've said that before. He looks like he's river dancing. I think I told him that. It's like a river dance. He's these sliding, but he's obviously got tremendous movement. But that I think that wears you out a little bit by the second round, especially when your arms are done. You're taking a bunch of hits.
I'm thinking of. Thinking of the water dancer. I'm thinking of Game of Thrones. Who's Cyrio Martel?
Who is
the guy? He's like, I don't. Jimmy just wants to be like, you fucking nerd.
No, I don't.
Just call me a nerd.
No, you're not a nerd.
I listen. You know what I'm
Logan
talking about?
I saw Logan.
When he's like, yeah, little girl. No, you.
Yeah, the one that trained.
Training Arya.
How good was Logan?
Oh, you saw it?
Yes. I went on a date last night.
Wait,
hold on.
Wait.
What's the name?
More important. Let me ask you now.
Hello, everybody.
Did you see it in 3D?
No.
Me neither. I wanted to go to IMAX.
I got to see it in an IMAX.
The young lady friend that I went with.
Ooh.
Just wanted to see something. It was either that or we were going to see 50 Shades Darker.
Ooh. And so instead you saw Wolverine slashing and
yeah, because that
killing
represents
everybody.
Me sexually better. But no, I didn't want to see it. But the kid was great in that movie.
Oh, what a good... That girl was great.
That's one of the best superhero movies ever.
How great was that?
Is that one of the best ever?
It was up there. You should see Deadpool, by the way.
And let me ask you. They do acknowledge the X-Men comic book in this.
But...
Do they do that in other X-Men films?
No,
I love that
no,
they did
but
it.
The way they did it was...
So great.
In that universe, like they became like the X-Men were real, and it's almost like they made...
Yes, comic book about them.
Yeah, it wasn't like the fourth wall getting broken.
No.
That's what people thought when they saw the commercial. Because in Deadpool, There, he breaks down the fourth wall. No. It wasn't like that.
This was about that. In that world, they were known as mutants, and they had made a comic book about them. And he's like, that's bullshit.
He's like, the way, he's like, around 20% of that actually happened.
How good, it wasn't how like good that. Was that movie?
So good. I thought, and I thought Professor X, Patrick Stewart.
I loved him in that.
They were great. They were,
and Stephen Merchant.
Isn't it funny how the, who's that?
Oh.
Is that Pierce? Is that the guy with the, is that the guy with the hand?
The white guy. No, that was the pale dude, the fucking sniffer.
Oh, you're thinking of, Caliban.
I'll tell you who Stephen Merchant is. Co-creator of The British Office, and he starred in Hello Ladies on HBO. He's a tall, gangly fellow.
That was a fun movie.
Brilliant.
The movie was just so well done, and it was violent.
Oh, was it?
But
great?
It was much neat. It was like violent for the right. I mean, listen, the guy's got claws, and the girl.
What'd you think of the claws through the neck of people? Oh, that's
they were just. It was.
Oof.
It was the way a Wolverine movie should be done.
And she had fucking claws in the back because she was female.
In her, yeah.
Holy
man.
Shit.
She was, it was awesome because she was cool. Like, she was like a tough little girl.
I hate kids in movies. She was great.
She was great. She was great. And like, usually, yes, usually it would be a turnoff. Like, oh, look at this little kid acting like tough. But even the, like, the first scene, they showed it on the commercial when she comes out. And, but in this one's a little bit different because she had the guy's head off. But, you know, I don't want to do too many spoilers, but it was so good. So
I won't
good.
Give any spoilers. I'll ask this. At any point in the movie,
talk
in the middle
me.
Of the movie, whatever.
Yes.
At any
no
point.
No pee breaks.
Movie, no. I literally pissed 25 times. But I have a bad bladder.
Okay.
I was by the exit.
So
thank the good Lord.
Talk to me.
Did you at any point in the movie tear up a little?
At the ending, a little bit.
Well, I don't want to say when.
I said it.
Hold on. Can we.
No, don't edit.
No, not edit.
Well, I don't want to say you're not funny because you just said the whole thing you just said
I
was
say,
basically for me not to say that.
I didn't want to say when, Matt.
So I pointed it right out.
So what I'm saying is,
oh shit,
it would be funny to cover that part up, not edit it out. You want to say it?
How are we gonna cover it up?
Just put a noise over it.
Bah!
Yeah, all put right. this. No. But as I'm telling the audience that we're doing it, like as a funny part, so we're not blowing something. I think it's hilarious. Actually, or do we leave it? You know what? Fuck it, leave it.
But I didn't say what happens or anything.
You're right. You didn't.
It could have been happy cry.
It's something the girl said.
I'm not saying it's not happy.
It's something the girl said, and it made me, it's like when she said that, it made me kind of teary because I am a mutant. No, I'm a father. But, listen, I don't want to talk too much about it, but it's very, she's a lot like you, Logan, very much like you. That's my Patrick Stewart. Someone will, and I like when Wolverine, Logan calls him, somebody will come along. Somebody has come along. Yeah. He was great. Patrick Stewart. I can't do it good.
He doesn't want to do a great Patrick Stewart.
You do a great one?
I do Nicholson as professor. Hey there, Wolverine, carve your claws up.
I swear, I close my eyes. I think he's here.
You know, and Patrick Stewart said he doesn't want to do any more, and Hugh Jackman doesn't want to do it. How about this, Patrick?
Perfect.
You're fucking sitting in a wheelchair. How it's the easiest gig in Hollywood. You get blankets on your legs. You're all toasty.
I can't wait to see it again. I'm going to see it again.
You just take a shit while you're fucking doing your lines.
I like a
Wolverine. She's here already.
This is not a way to live. It was so, dude. It was what a good movie, Logan. So listen, everybody out there, see Logan. If you're not, if you've never seen one X-Men movie, a Marvel movie, or anything, look, hey, GSP's going to see it tonight. You might see him in the theater.
He's in Montreal.
He likes those movies.
I love when he said that he's embarrassing himself.
Oh, that was great.
But he showed a lot of respect for Bisping too. Like he's a good.
Well,
fucking,
Bisping, whether you like him or not, you gotta respect.
Who doesn't like Bisping?
A lot
I wouldn't
of
like
people.
Him if he's
bashing
dude,
me. He's fucking funny though.
He's hilarious.
He was. I think his he doesn't care if he looks stupid or looks like
he doesn't
his dick.
Give a fuck. He's a crazy drunk fighter.
Watch that post fight thing. We'll talk about that because that was He just comes. First of all, he comes in late. And then he's like, George is in the middle of talking. He picks up the mic. He goes, shut the fuck up and go back to Canada. Nobody gives a shit. Dude, that's exactly, he was just, and George is like, shut up. Yeah, no, he didn't say shut up. He goes, you're embarrassing yourself. It was so great, dude. It was great.
I want to see that.
Are you texting one of your girlfriends?
Not texting at all, buddy.
What's it like to be single in New York? We hanging out tomorrow after the show? You got stuff to do? I'm only kidding. I'll find stuff to do.
Yeah, I have...
Tomorrow? I'm sorry, go ahead.
We're taping...
you got shit to do.
A day in advance.
I'll do something. I got some downtime tomorrow.
We may
can
have...
Can we talk about the schedule? We can talk about it after.
We can talk about...
Let's talk about it now.
Who is arguably my favorite new heavyweight, and I've been talking about him for a long time.
Francis
Ngannou, maybe. We're interviewing him in the morning. He's doing the radio show. Normally, we don't interview people at English as their second language, and they have a translator. But I love Francis Ngannou.
Are you going to ask him about? Is he now? What's the listen?
Francis, what's it like hitting people, knocking them out?
Do you think
I'm going to ask him like Andy Rooney? I'm going to do the whole interview like Andy Rooney.
Every time I see the guy, he's got sunglasses on. Every time. Do you think he's going to wear them in studio?
Not if I. I'll say to him, "Excuse me, hey."
You go, oh, why don't you go? I would like you to say,
off.
How about if he's wearing them? Go, hey, is it bright in here?
Yeah. Hey, interpreter.
I might ask him, though.
How
might
do you say take those fuckers off?
I wouldn't ask him in a mean way. I would ask him in a way where I've seen it before. Now, is it a fashion thing? Does it make you more comfortable to talk with? When I first started this gig, I thought I might have to wear, I'm so comfortable with you, I don't need it. But I thought I might have to wear sunglasses.
I would say to him, Mr. Ngannou, I sure would love to see your baby blues.
Does he have blue eyes?
I don't know, but he can't say baby brown. It sounds creepy. No one's ever said that about eyes.
Do you think that tone is better than snapping at him, or which one do you think works better?
Every time I say Francis, I think of Deadpool, because the movie Deadpool, the bad guy's name was Francis.
I think of Stripes. Lighten up, Francis. Take your sunglasses.
Only you and Longo think of Stripes. The kids nowadays, you're not old, though. Longo's old. But I'm going to have him in... When you're gone, you're going to be taking a break.
I am. Well, I'm not a break. Just gone for two. Because
taking a break. I'm not just...
People that are taking a hiatus. Like, oh, no, Dana's squeezing them out.
No, I hope not.
No, I'm going to... I'm just voluntary because I'm promoting for my Netflix special. Comes out March the 14th.
What?
I'm very psyched. And March 14th?
That's
promo.
Soon.
So, yes. Right. I'm going to do Rogan's show. I'm doing Carolla's show. I'm going to be doing Rich Eisen's show. And I'll be promoting this podcast as well while I'm out there.
Could you do...
Doing a little leg work.
Well, I'm listening now to your tour. Are you really going to mention the podcast?
Always, man. All right. I love talking about the UFC podcast. I might be doing a Fighter and the Kid. I'll mention
our
podcast.
Do that.
I want to do it.
I was thinking about doing that show. Actually, I'm not inviting. I'm inviting myself on the show.
I'm thinking about doing that show. I asked to do it. I said, let's see if they would win.
100%, though.
My manager said, yeah, they're great.
They'll let you go on. I'm friends with those guys.
I never know. I never think people like me.
I'm the same way.
I never think people like
me. I don't think anybody likes me.
We all like you.
Why is that? You like me. Chris, the producer, I'm not too sure likes me. No,
Chris has a love hate with us. He's tired of me, but he kind of likes.
He goes home to
me.
His newlywed wife, and he goes, "These two fucks.
They
come in. One guy asks for salted almonds. The other guy's bitching about a seltzer.
Fucking caffeine free diet coke. He's been fuck
short motherfucker.
Oh boy, he's had enough.
And then he goes to where's my steak?
Yeah,
not only kidding.
He fucking flips the table like Jake LaMotta. You gonna body me about a steak?
Don't burn that. It defeats its own purpose.
Yeah, you called those carrots. That's my favorite line in the movie.
Honey, come on, honey, let's be friends.
Yes, but let's
come
be
on.
Friends.
I like when come on, let's be.
That's where he grabs her by the back of the neck. Get in there. And he shoves her in a bedroom.
Yeah, she was cute, the first one.
But right after he shoves her in a bedroom, he goes, get in there. And then his brother's like, what are you doing? He goes, honey, what am I doing? He's like laughing.
They were great. And then she's like, you're going out, I'm going out. He's like, I don't care what you do. And then Larry, I'm going to kill that dog, Larry. Yeah. You're animals. I'm gonna come up there, I'm going to kill your dog.
You're going to find your dog dead in the hallway, Larry.
Yeah, you're animals.
Your mother's an animal.
I love that movie.
And as Jake and Joey are walking out, the crazy wife is screaming out the window, suck him, baby, suck him.
Yeah.
You're going to go suck each other's cocks. She's yelling at this guy in the fucking street.
You're going out, I'm going out.
You gotta watch Raging Bull.
First of all, if somebody hasn't seen
it, we're doing Logan.
Oh, Logan was so good.
I know.
Listen, Jimmy,
Raging Bull's a masterpiece.
What else do
if
we
you
have
haven't seen that,
about?
You are a goose.
I
guess we're done. I mean, I'm fine.
Yeah,
it was fun.
I had a great time. Listen, how great was it to talk to George?
Lovely.
St-Pierre?
He sounded so ready.
I believe he's going to be in this studio definitely before the fight. He's down the block.
I still want to train. I got to combat my sleep apnea. I think of fucking jiu-jitsu every day. I want to go take it. I'm just too tired. No one gives
a
fuck.
You've been going on a lot of dates.
Yes, I have.
What's it like?
What's it like? That was cool. Spending money home alone.
Yeah?
Of course.
But you probably got excited for the fact that maybe she might be touching.
I've been going home tugging my prick, Matt.
All right. Anyway. All right.
I like going on nice dates. I like going out to dinner with girls. I have a good time.
You know what's
good?
Have you
been doing like Tinder dates type of thing? Or meeting people?
I have literally.
It's crazy, the Tinder thing.
I've gotten more offers to fight in the UFC than I have dates on Tinder.
Really?
How
many are you swiping? Like.
I got carpal tunnel from going to the right. Do you understand what a disaster you have to be for me to swipe? Nope.
But when you white, now you swipe that. Cause I don't know. Listen, I'm not a single guy. So you swipe, then also they come back at you like, hi. What's
sometimes,
your name?
You know what it is, but they, sometimes they're hookers, and I don't want that. Sometimes they are fans, and I'll talk to them. Or sometimes we're all just so flaky in this day and age.
Listen,
we're all just so
Jimmy,
flaky.
Life is short, and so are we. I'm going to see you tomorrow, and I'm so excited about that.
Yes, my friend.
For people that don't know, actually, when this comes out,
this will be out Thursday. No one cares.
No, when we do it. This comes out to
No, I meant tomorrow comes out Thursday.
Oh, right.
This comes out tomorrow, so today. Whatever.
But I'm
Matt and I are talking
I'm
right now.
Doing
while
you're this, I'm doing the serious. Your serious show.
Yes, you are in the morning.
I'm so excited about that.
Absolutely.
We're going to have fun. All right, Jimmy. Let's say goodbye. You want to plug anything?
No, just the fact that Netflix, March the 14th, is coming out. Check out me and Sam Roberts every morning, 8 to 11 on SiriusXM. It's such a fun show, man. We did a live event. Go and check out us on demand. We did a live, our first live show at the Village Underground. It was fucking crazy. Anthony Kumi was on the whole time.
Oh, I heard about and Colin Quinn.
Colin.
Wait, what was that? That was that was
porn girls got into a fight at the whole fucking thing.
Can't we have fun like that? Chris, the producer, can you talk to the powers that be? Could me and Jimmy do a live show?
Would people come to it?
Who would? And I want people to write you on Twitter because I'm not on there. Or
I don't check out mentions, buddy. I
don't know. Hey, listen. Who wants to have to do a live show? What kind of fun? How much fun could that be? A lot of fun. Who am I asking? You?
Tweet the UFC. Let them know.
The people know who are,
the people not you. I'm saying people
chirp.
Could tweet.
Oh, yeah. I would love to do a live show.
Me too.
All right, Jimmy. All right. Well, I'm going to see you tomorrow.
Yes,
and
tomorrow.
Everybody, thank you for listening.
This was fun.
And also, Dana White looking for a fight. Watch that on YouTube. And that's all I got
to
say.
Thank you to George St. Pierre. That was a really, really fun call.
That was great. Yeah, thank you, George. And thank you guys.
And Chris. Great preparation work by Chris.
Thank you, Chris. It's a love fest. Bye.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.